The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Do not use this for any real estate or investment making decisions. All views by myself or our guests are solely our own and do not reflect the opinion of our employers.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.
This is Average Joe Finances Podcast, episode 17. If you're just spending, and you're not in the right mindset, you're not going to think twice before you go swipe that card, before you hand over that cash to the teller. For many people, it's difficult, right? The discipline part is very hard, especially when you got to take a step back and say, hey, it's time to be a little frugal now. It's time to focus on a budget so we can get out of debt before we start anything else.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? So a couple weeks ago, I got interviewed by the My Future Business podcast, and he gave me permission to share this interview on my channel, and I want to go ahead and do that. It was a pretty fun experience being on the other side of the table, being the guy answering questions instead of asking the questions. So this is the second podcast that I've ever been on and been interviewed on, and it was just a fun experience overall. It felt very much like two guys sitting down and having a cup of coffee, as Rick so eloquently said to me. And you know, it's just been a really fun time hosting my podcast, and now getting to be on other people's podcasts as well. So one of the fun things that I enjoy about this the most is just the fact that, you know, I get to share my story and other people get to share their story on my podcast, and we just get it out there. And hopefully, you know, it helps somebody and somebody can benefit from this in the future with whatever it is they're trying to do. If you're trying to start your own business in the future, if you're trying to get into real estate or investing, that's what this is all about. If we can provide some type of value to help you get to where you're trying to go, then that's exactly the goal and exactly what we're trying to do. So check out my interview with Rick on the My Future Business podcast. I'll also put a link to the original podcast on his channel so you can check it out there as well.
Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name's Rick Nusky. It's wonderful to have you here with us today. You know what? It's wonderful just having 2 feet and a heartbeat and living life to your fullest. So I hope you're doing that. And also just to take a second of pause to thank you for supporting the show. It's making all the difference knowing that it's making a difference for you. Now on today's show, I'm with the wonderful Mike Cavagianio. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing very good. Thank you.
You know what? I've just checked your surname, and that's a very difficult one to say. Can I try that again? Is that Cavagione?
Very close. It's Cavagione.
There you go. I try these things, and no matter how hard I try, Mike, sometimes I don't get them right. Now, Mike is the founder of Average Joe Finances, but there's a lot more to Mike than just finances, and we're going to be talking about his career in the Navy. And, you know, you've had a long, long career in the Navy. I'd love to, I think, start there. How was your time in the Navy?
Sure. So my time in the Navy has been phenomenal. It's been just a wonderful experience for me because I joined the Navy when I was 17 years old. I had to have my parents actually sign a waiver form to allow me to enlist at such a young age.
Wow.
And I had to wait a year before I could even ship out to boot camp and actually finish high school as well. I wasn't even finished with high school at the time when I signed up. And you know, so I graduate high school while all my friends are sitting there having their, you know, graduation parties and everyone's getting ready for the summer. I'm shipping off to Great Lakes up in Chicago and heading off to basic training.
That's no small thing.
That is where the journey started for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Definitely. Do you think that, you know, over those years that it's helped you become the person that you are today?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I would not be who I am today if I didn't join the Navy.
So I often speak with people that have served, Yours is quite a long period of time. Do you become somewhat institutionalized once you leave? Is it hard to let go of some of the, I guess, the discipline that you gather and you become?
So I think that's part of what I'm doing right now is I'm working on my transition to, you know, change my mindset a bit from the, you know, the structured military lifestyle where, you know, everything has its place and, you know, which it's a great structure to be a part of, right? But, you know, translating that into civilian life, that's not always how things work outside of the military, right? So right now I'm working on a mindset shift to just kind of change how I look at things, just change my perspective a bit. And that's one of the things I'm doing right now with Average Joe Finances and, you know, starting my side business. And I just recently got my real estate license.
Yep.
And I'm doing that. And I have a rental property back in Virginia that I rent out. So I plan to buy more. And this is kind of just the start of, you know, my next career where I'm going to be my own boss. And I'm really excited about that. So the transition may be difficult, but I'm trying to start it early enough to where when I finally retire between 20 and 22 years, that it's not going to be a big shock to the system.
Yeah, well, you're taking the steps right now, and it's a credit to you. So well done. Now, I love the name Average Joe Finances. It's fantastic. It's straight to the point. As soon as I saw it, I thought, there's a name that I'm never, ever going to forget. How did you come about that name?
Awesome. Well, thank you for asking. Average Joe Finances, it's kind of funny because I said, you know, as I started investing in real estate, and looking towards the future outside of the Navy. And I said, hey, I want to do something, build something that's my own, but share, you know, I kind of want to share my journey along the way and how this is going. I was like, you know, I'm kind of just like your regular everyday average Joe. And that's when I said, Average Joe. I said, well, my middle name is Joe. So I do have some claim to that.
Yeah.
So I said, let me just see something real quick. And I go check the domains and Average Joe Finances was available. And I said, let me just get the domain first and see what happens. So I bought the domain and then just started building from there. And
yeah,
that's kind of how it started, you know, and basically I'm building a community for your everyday blue collar worker that wants to build wealth and get out of the rat race and start living life, you know, outside of the 9 to 5.
I'd love to talk about your entrepreneurial spirit and where this all came from, but I also want to talk about, I guess, life in terms of what a daily routine looks like for you. Because if we don't have our health and our well-being, running a business, creating a wealth is not going to happen. What do you say to that side of your life, and what does a day look like for you?
Sure. So the typical weekday for me is I usually get up at about between 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning. Just depends on which alarm wakes me up. Because sometimes I'm not the greatest morning person, right? And it's kind of funny because most military folks are. But you know, I got to force myself in the morning. And the first thing I do in the morning, I wake up and I actually meditate for 5 to 10 minutes, and then I do my daily affirmation with, you know, I clear my mind, you know, clear the palate, and just start the day fresh. Because a lot of the times what you see in the military, it's very much like Groundhog Day. It's the same thing over and over and over again.
Repetition.
And yes, and the repetition, the repetitiveness can sometimes really, you know, take a hit on your mental state, right? So I like to clear my mind first thing in the morning, start my day fresh. Even if I'm doing the same thing that I did yesterday, I think it's important to, you know, just go into it with a fresh perspective. So that's the first thing I do. Usually around lunchtime or, you know, after work, just depending on how many meetings I had for the day and what I have going on, I will either go for a run or do some type of workout, because you need to have some type of, you know, besides your mental health, you need to have good physical health, a good physical health as well. And sometimes, you know, there's some days where I don't always get to get done what I want to get done. And, you know, that's understandable because, you know, things always come up.
Yeah.
So just a little background. My current job, I'm the executive officer of the staff where I'm at. So I have a lot of responsibility and a lot of people to take care of on a day-to-day basis.
there's sometimes there isn't even a weekend that my phone's not going off with something coming up. So my day job in the Navy can be sometimes very difficult and very time consuming. So having that time to, you know, basically clear out everything when I do that in the morning, like it just, it helps me again, start fresh and start the next day and not have the stress of the previous day, you know, be on my mind when I start my day.
You must have to have a very structured approach, a very purposeful approach to every single day, given that you are so busy, but you also have this thrust to help others create personal wealth. You've touched on mindset, Mike. I'd love to talk about that in terms of how important it is for those you are trying to teach wealth creation strategies with.
Sure. Yeah, so I think mindset is huge. As a matter of fact, the past couple guests I've had on my show, that's been the focus of our conversation. And, you know, one of the things that I enjoy about doing since I started the podcast was actually doing interviews with other people. And I learned so much from them with each interview. I feel like it's an opportunity to talk to people that you wouldn't normally get to talk to and pick their brains in a situation where you normally wouldn't get to. So I enjoy that very much. Now, for me, mindset is probably the most important thing for you to do on any journey, whether it's financial, spiritual, for your health, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, your mindset has to reflect what your goal is, right? So if you set yourself a goal that you want to be financially free, you want to be financially independent, you have to change your mindset to head in that direction. And, you know, one of the things that I've talked about with guests in the past, and one of the things that I find, you know, very fascinating is many people don't have a relationship with money, and you need to have a relationship with it. You need to treat it as if it's your own employee, right? And you want that money to go and work for you to make you more money. You know, bring your friends, you know, let's all get together and have a community, right?
I'm all for that.
Yeah, but if you're just spending and you're not in the right mindset, you're not going to think twice before you go swipe that card, before you hand over that cash to the teller. It's just, it's not something you think about. So for many people, it's difficult, right? The discipline part is very hard, especially when you got to take a step back and say, hey, it's time to be a little frugal now. It's time to focus on a budget so we can get out of debt before we start anything else. So that's why I believe mindset's important, because if you don't have the mindset, you're not going to have the discipline.
Yeah, now I've checked out your podcast, and I suggest that everybody who's on the show with us today make sure to have a look at the Average Joe podcast. He also has his YouTube channel, and I'll be making all the links back to that particular channel, Mike, after the show. Mike, I'd love to talk about some of the strategies that you are employing and educating people about, especially millennials, because I don't think it's ever too early to start investing, starting to look to the future, because at the end of the day, we only have a finite amount of time on this earth, so it's never too early to start, is it?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, My niece, who just turned 18, has actually been talking to me a little bit about what she should do now that she is, you know, 18 years old and she's got a little bit of money and what should she do with it. So I'm trying to help her out with that. But I think the main thing is, no matter what career field somebody goes into, whether or not you want to work that 9-to-5 or whether or not you want to be you want to run your own small business, the most important thing is that you focus on paying yourself first. Right. And by paying yourself, I mean paying your savings account, paying your investments, whether that's real estate, whatever asset class it is, whether it's real estate, whether it's stocks and ETFs, index funds, or whether or not it's something you're investing into a business. Right. So the most important thing is that you have that again, that mindset to ensure that you're putting your money where it belongs. A lot of people will think that they have to, you know, pay off, you know, all their bills and everything first, which of course you have to, but what you need to do is you need to treat your savings and your investments as a bill. That's what I do. So whenever I get paid, I say, here's all my expenses, here's all my bills. And guess what the top thing on my list of bills is? My investments, right? So everything that I pay that first, then I pay the rest of my expenses. Then what I have left over, that's when I can use to, you know, take care of things with the family, or this is our grocery budget, you know, things like that.
What are your most favorite investments? What are the things that are interesting you, and what can you see coming up in the next 10 years?
So for me, my favorite thing right now is real estate. I've fallen in love with real estate because to me, it's one of the safest investments out there. People are always going to need somewhere to live, right? And I enjoy it very much. And then, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about the stock market taking a correction here shortly. And so maybe if you're in your 60s, it's not a good time to really go all in the stock market. But if you're young, if you're like in your 20s and maybe even young 30s, you know, you can still get in right now. And even if there is a correction, it will build back up. And, you know, a lot of people think that they have to time the market, but you don't. I mean, time in the market is more important than timing the market. And I know you've probably heard that before. A lot of people say that because it's true. You know, if you sit there and you invest consistently every month, even if it's the same day every month, you will see significant gains. I mean, compounding interest works. And, you know, so again, I'm kind of going a little off here, but
No,
my favorite
absolutely
thing is
not.
real estate. You know, I also like real estate investment trusts, and you know, a lot of people look at them as stocks, even though it's not, it's still considered real estate. I love those because I get paid dividends every month from those, and I just reinvest them. And it's something that it's for me, it's out of sight, out of mind, and it continues to grow.
Are
And that's one
these?
of the things I enjoy about that.
I think about this sort of stuff, and I know that people get overwhelmed. There's lots of steps in, you know, setting up trusts, and that you can get lost in the landmine of complexity. Is there a way to do this? Do you outsource this? How do you manage this?
So I do have a financial advisor for one of my brokerage accounts, and that is a joint account that I actually opened. It's a joint account that I can take from at any time, but I basically opened it for my daughters. And it's you know, by the time they reach adulthood, 18 to 20-ish, that money is there for if, you know, I need to pay for their wedding, if they want a down payment on their first home, things like that. So I have a financial advisor that manages that for me. But everything else I try to do on my own, and I learn as I go. And of course you make mistakes, but to me, every time I make a mistake, it's building knowledge, right? And that is priceless, if you ask me, especially when you learn from your own mistakes. And I try to share my mistakes with other people so they don't make the same. But at the same time, at these growing pains will actually help you develop a better, you know, investing mindset and make you pay attention more to what you're doing. Now, for me, it's a little difficult because of my day job, right? I can't just sit there and watch the stock market all day and move stuff around if I need to, which is not something I recommend to any new investors anyway. It's you should buy and hold, right? But, you know, I firmly believe that you need to get in and read some good books. You need to just educate yourself. There's so many free resources on the internet. I put free resources on my website as well for people to go check out. There's just so much knowledge, free knowledge out there. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, besides investing in the stock market or buying real estate, you need to invest in yourself. And by investing in yourself, you educate yourself. And that right there is worth more than any stock that you can buy.
Thank you so much for sharing, Mike. This is a wonderful call, great insights. I sit here and I notice you talked about your daughters, and to me, that's about goal setting. They give you a direction, and that's fine for people who have, you know, families, because for me, that was my reason for starting to do a lot of the things that I now do in my life. How does one look for a goal if they're single?
Okay, that's a great question, right? You know, because coming from that side, you know, I'm married with two kids, two daughters, and you know, if you're single, this is the perfect opportunity for you to really focus on what your financial freedom number is going to be, what your goal is going to be. If you plan to get married and eventually have a family, that's fine. Plan for it. You know, I like to plan my life in 5-year increments, right? So once retirement for me in the military hit within that 5-year mark, I started planning for it, which is why I started looking at my transition and everything. Some people like to plan it 1 year out. Some people like to plan every 6 months. That's fine. I do 5-year increments, and I do updates quarterly, right? So my wife and I will sit down and we'll say, okay, where are we at? Where do we need to be? What do we need to adjust to get there? So for somebody who's single, they don't have to have that checks and balances with someone else. They can say, here's my goal, and they can keep pushing, you know, forward towards it. When you're married, you know, it's a joint thing. There needs to be some reciprocation. You know what I'm saying? So being single is a great opportunity for somebody, especially if you're just getting started. If you're young and single, there's so much you can do.
Thank you for sharing. I look at investing and getting into stock markets like the steam train. Early on, there's no momentum, and it's so hard to get started and so on, and it takes time. And then once you get going, you get the momentum, everything's great. With that in mind, I wonder, is there anything we can do prior to getting that momentum, like side hustles? What would you suggest to bring in money quicker than that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a firm believer in side hustles, right? You use your side hustle to fund what will be your main hustle in the future, right? So one of the things that I liked doing not too long ago, but pre-pandemic, was I was driving for Uber. Mm-hmm. And I would actually take that money from Uber and I would invest it. So on top of that, another thing I did is I worked out some, so I live in Hawaii, right? So yeah. I worked out something with a local tour guide here, and basically anybody that I sent to him for one of the luaus or a tour or anything that was going on, if they bought one of his packages, he'd kick me $20. So I would kind of get like a small kickback there. So it was pretty awesome. It was a small little thing that I had going on, but I would purposely do airport runs, pick people up from the airport on the weekends. Now, mind you, I didn't want to take up too much time for my family. So I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd be at the airport at 4:30 in the morning, and I'd do it till about 10 o'clock to maybe 12 o'clock. And then I still had the rest of the day after that. Then I'd go hiking with the family or anything. But anyway, that small window provided so much opportunity. And now that I have my real estate license, you know, once I can actually start doing that again, once things kind of calm down a bit, there were so many people that I met that were moving to Hawaii. So now I can do referrals. And if they buy a house out here, I get a cut of that commission as well.
Yep.
So it's a mindset thing, right? There's so many different little things you can do. You can open an e-commerce store if you've got the time to dedicate to it, and you find a good product or a good niche that you can sell online. A lot of people do that, and that becomes their main job afterwards. You know, mm-hmm. I've had a t-shirt store before. I've sold shirts. I at one point had a outdoor fishing and camping gear store. It was called thefishingangler.com, and I was running that for about a year, and it was doing great. I just couldn't keep up with the amount of orders that I was getting. And I actually had to stop because of my day job in the Navy. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely a lot of opportunity. I flipped a website. I built a store online, set everything up, got the products and everything. And then I listed it on a website called Flippa, it's basically, just a bunch of websites for sale. And I built it for about $150 and I sold it for $750.
Wow, that's amazing. So, you touched on the pandemic, and I think about the pandemic and I think about the future and I think about innovation. How has this changed, this global pandemic? How has this changed your perspective on commerce, e-commerce, any type of commerce? And what do you see for the future? Is it going to be a brighter day in front of us?
That's a great question. Yes, I firmly believe that we'll get past this. I mean, we have a pandemic like this just about every 10 years, right? And this one's been the worst one in a while, right? Mm-hmm. Because this one's a little more deadly, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we will eventually beat this. But in the meantime, I think it's, you know, opened up a lot of avenues for more productivity for some people, right? So I had a guest on my show not too long ago. He is a consultant for educators, right? So he goes from school to school to school and helps, you know, facilitate for these educators to teach a different way. And one of the things that we talked about is, you know, I asked him, you know, what he thought about like the new tech that we have with Zoom and everything like that. And he said, you know what? It's been a blessing in disguise, because he's now able to do, you know, one event here in this state and 30 minutes later be somewhere else, all thanks to Zoom and the technology that we have to have, you know, like the interaction that you and I are having right now.
Yeah.
And you know, I think this has opened up the avenue for a lot of innovation. I think many people are taking advantage of this, and you know, a lot of people are being able to work from home now. I think a lot of businesses have realized that, hey, maybe we don't need everybody in the office, you know, 40 yep. hours a week. Maybe yep. we can have them here half the time and the other half of the time they telework. I mean, you look at what some of these bigger companies are doing, like Google and Amazon, and they're allowing people to work from home at least for the next year.
Yes.
And, you know, but now there's going to be long-term effects from this. You see a lot of people moving out of the big cities. I actually wrote an article about this. If you look right now, I think Manhattan just did there was something about Manhattan has 12,000 vacant apartments right now.
Yeah.
It might even be more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all because people are moving out to the suburbs because, hey, I don't have to actually go to the office in the city. I can work from home. And it's starting to change a lot of people's mindsets. And I don't know what the long-term impact of that's going to be. But at the same time, I think people just need to prepare and just for this shift that's coming.
I find it interesting that, you know, Venice's channels started to clear up in terms of their water quality, the air quality mm-hmm. improved. And, you know, we know where this is coming from. It's people, it's transportation, and it's all those types of things. So there's opportunity for the earth to breathe. Now, in that, there's another opportunity in terms of investment. I wonder, what are some of the more obscure investment channels that you have ventured into?
So I haven't really done anything obscure right now, but I have taken advantage of, so, you know, here we have the housing and urban development. They mm-hmm. they call it Section 8 housing, right? So I did take advantage of having tenants that were Section 8 because, you know, it was a guaranteed check that I got no matter what.
Yeah.
'Cause I do have other tenants that can't pay. And because of what's going on, there's nothing I can do about it. I can't evict them. So at this point, the fact that I was able to have these Section 8 tenants is what kept that property afloat for me because it was paying my expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, people just need to look outside the box. If that's not something you would normally do, consider it because, you know, people get nervous when they hear the term Section 8 or they think, oh, they're going to destroy my house because, you know, it's lower income. So a lot of people look at it from that perspective. But a lot of times these are just families just trying to survive, right? So
absolutely, and that's happening elsewhere as well, all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing too, like I know I just called them tenants, but I think, you know, when you interact with your tenants, right, you should consider them as residents, right? Because they're people as well, not just, you know, that landlord tenant relationship.
Yeah,
but look at
beings.
It from that different perspective. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. This is wonderful. I'm loving this conversation. And, you know, I touched on this whole looking at different alternatives and how, you know, given our behavior as human beings has changed and it's allowing new opportunities to stay from work from home. Talk about amazing, you know, to have this opportunity to speak with somebody who is in Hawaii right now. I'm in Australia. We're on different parts of the world. Tell me some of the experiences that you've had with your guests on your show and where they've been located.
Sure. So I've had guests on my show from the West Coast of the United States, out in California and Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I've had guests on the East Coast, from Atlanta to Virginia to New York. And it's interesting when you talk about, because of how large, you know, the United States is, when you talk about how the pandemic's affecting them in their specific areas,
yeah,
right? And because each state handles it differently, right? So you look at the way New York handled things versus Georgia versus California, and, you know, you see a lot of people, their mindsets are different, right? So whether or not you believe you should walk around and wear a mask or not, whether or not you believe it actually will help people, right, the mentalities are different depending on where you live. So I think sometimes it's important that we embrace a national way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I firmly believe in wearing a mask.
Yep.
You know, whether or not you believe it does or doesn't help it, you know, I look at it from this way. If I'm wearing pants and you're wearing pants and we both started peeing, well, both of our legs are going to be wet. If we're both not wearing pants, we're going to be peeing on each other. So that's the way I look at it with the face mask. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm really having a great time on this call today, Mike. Thank you. It's wonderful. I'm looking at the bio and I'm running through a handful of things that you've written here. You talk about income streams and having multiple mm-hmm. of them.
Yes.
How hard is that to set up?
So, you know, it's not that it's difficult to set up. It's, again, the discipline. So when you start off and the number's very small, people can get discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it over a 10-year period, so if you're buying dividend-paying stocks or REITs, right? So mine pay me monthly. I get a dividend payout every month. Now, when you first start off, it's, you know, a couple pennies to a dollar to, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep investing and you keep reinvesting that money, it'll eventually, over years, turn into something that you might even be able to live off of in the future, right? So having that discipline is very important. Now, multiple streams of income can be from dividends. It could be from you bought some real estate and you have tenants paying rental properties. You can flip real estate. You can... a lot of people, one of the things that's very popular here is wholesaling,
yep.
where it's basically like being a real estate agent, but you're not. Mm-hmm. You're finding good deals for people and you get a cut of that deal. So again, too, investing in dividend paying stocks, investing in a business that gives you a small return. There's different things out there like Lending Club where you can loan people money and you can get like a 7% return on your investment. So there's a lot of things you can do with your money instead of letting it sit in a savings account and accrue like a 0.05% interest
nothing.
Rate.
Yeah.
Right. Which is absolutely nothing. There's so many things you can actually put into. I don't like to hold on to a lot of cash. I have just enough cash to cover my emergencies in the event something was to happen and I was unemployed for, you know, 3 to 6 months. I have enough to cover all my expenses.
Yeah.
But that's it. Everything else goes away.
Goes away.
I don't want to see it. Yep. I want to employ it. I want it to work for me.
Get out there and do your job.
Absolutely. And that's how you build multiple streams of income is you make your money work for you.
Yeah, thank you. I wonder, there seems to be a lot of affiliation type relationships here. What mm-hmm. Would that be fair to say that this is essentially affiliate marketing in a way?
No. So, I mean, affiliate marketing is another way to build another stream of income,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can do that as well. But, you know, what I'm talking about is, you know, taking your money and investing it into something that's going to pay you back.
Yeah.
And I'm not endorsing any of these companies that I'm naming, like LendingTree and stuff like that.
No,
I'm just saying that those, there's similar companies to them as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be them.
Yeah.
But there's just different ways. I mean, a lot of people like to do real estate syndication as well. And that's where you can be a silent partner, right? A limited partner where you basically just put your money into this project.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, it's usually about a 7-year turnaround and you get, you know, your return on investment during that 7 years. And then when they turn around and resell that apartment complex or that big commercial complex, the profit gets split up between all the partners that put into it. And that's a great way that if you have a sum of cash and you don't want to have to deal with, you know, tenants or anything like that, or the headache of actually owning the real estate and trying to collect rent and everything, that's a great way to get into real estate as well and invest in it while not having to actually deal with the headaches of it. You just put your money into it, you collect your check every month, and then at the end of the 7 years, you get your nice big check. So...
I think, you know, what is the most effective way to create passive income for you? Which one does this the best?
So passive income, the best is dividends, mm-hmm. right? Because even I'd love to say rental properties, right? Because you can look at rental properties as a passive income, especially if you have everything managed and you're hands off. So if you build a good team, which like I have a team in Virginia that handles my property out there and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. I get my rent every month. And, you know, the only time I got to worry about it is when there's an issue that arises that costs more than what I'm
You're
comfortable with of my property manager going in and making happen, you know, having fixed.
Yeah.
So that's the only time I really get involved. So, but that's another way too. If you build a good team and you've got a couple properties and you can kind of out of sight, out of mind it, and you have a good emergency fund built up for those properties, for any repairs, or anything like that, that's another way that you can consider that passive income.
There are so many different ways, so many different opportunities. Now, for anybody who's on the call today, if you're looking to fast track your wealth creation and set yourself up for the future, because believe it or not, it's going to happen one day. You're going to be at that point in time in your life that you maybe want to settle down. You might want to do something different. To help you get there quicker, I would definitely recommend that you reach out to Mike. Now, Mike, most importantly, at this time of the show, we need to find out when people want to learn from you, want to work with you, find out more about doing all of the things we've spoken about today, where are they going to find you?
All right. Fantastic. Thank you. So I am all over social media. So, but if you, my website is averagejoefinances.com. I have a flow page with all of my social media links. It's flow.page/AVGJOE finances. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Yep.
So I'm on all of those. it's pretty simple to find me if you just search for Average Joe Finances. And again, all those links are on my flow page, and I'll make sure you have all that.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a wonderful call. Now, again, as is customary, I will be making sure that all of the links back to Mike and Average Joe Finances are available below this post. No matter where you find it, you're going to find a link back to Mike and Average Joe Finances. Mike, in closing, thank you so very much for spending some time with me on the My Future Business Show today.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.